I'm here in our Buck studio with two musical guests. They are Bethany Moss, who is one of the final forte finalists, and her pianist Vincent Fu, who comes in and plays from time to time in a variety of formats. And welcome both to the midday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you must be a pretty seasoned competitor, Bethany, as I have read that you started playing the violin at the age of 4.
Yes, I've been competing for a long time.
And so the violin was, now you have a musical family. Let's establish that first.
Yes, my dad actually teaches music education, and he's done that for over a decade. So growing up, I always went to his orchestra concerts, and he was a conductor as well. So I go and see him conduct, and it was great to have that experience.
Do you remember those earliest musical experiences? What was the first piece of music that you remember getting excited about?
That's a tricky question.
It's funny. It's tricky, you know, for a lot of people. I asked Itzhak Perlman that question a long time ago, and he kind of struggled with it, too.
I don't actually have a lot of early memories. Violin's been with me for so long. It just seems like it's always been there, and I've always been making music.
And you were one of those musicians who begged your parents for an instrument?
I did. I did. I begged them to let me play violin. And once I started, it was sometimes a little hard to continue, but I'm so glad I did, and it was definitely worth all the practice.
It was hard to continue, and why was that? Just because you were 4 years old?
Yeah, it was sometimes hard to see what practicing now could do when I wanted to play outside or watch a movie or read a book instead of practicing at this minute. But it's definitely worth it.
You know, Mozart had the same problem when he was that age. He would be playing something at the keyboard, probably a demonstration for some wealthy patron or potentially a patron. And a cat would walk by and he would jump up from the piano and go running off and play with the cat. And his father would have to drag him back to play. So, I mean, at that age, it's to be expected, isn't it? Was this one of the, one-eighth size violin that you'd play at that age?
I believe it was one-quarter size, yes. It was always very exciting when I moved up a size because the new violin would arrive in the mail and it'd have all these packing peanuts and it'd be so excited and it'd come with a new case. Like, what does it look like? What does it sound like?
So you used actually literally new violins or, I mean...
Well, I shouldn't say new.
New to me.
Uh-huh. New to me.
And so you enjoyed exploring all the potential of these new-to-you instruments.
Yes, it's like a milestone, really, when you move up a size.
And so when did you finally move up to full-sized?
I think 5 or 6 years ago, probably 6 years ago.
That long ago, huh?
Yes.
And what did you start playing at that point? Same kind of things you were playing before?
Yes.
Same repertoire, just a bigger violin?
Just a bigger violin.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about this whole competition business? How do you steel yourself for a competition?
I think the best thing is to be prepared because then you aren't performing and worrying about the notes and what's coming up next. And if you're prepared, I really try to just enjoy what I'm doing because I do enjoy performing, especially the piece I was playing. It's one of my favorites. You'll hear it in a little bit. So it was really just trying to enjoy that I get to perform it, especially in most of the competitions are in like chapels. So of course it sounds beautiful and you've got this big chapel with a balcony. You can really just enjoy performing instead of focusing on, I have to make it to the next level.
And so how does the performers that come before you affect what you do? I mean, it's something like the Final Forte, of course, it's a mix. They're not all violinists, but if you're waiting in the wings, you get to hear what the people before you play.
Yes, it's really just a few minutes, and I'm usually so in the zone. I'm just focused on staying warm, making sure I'm still relaxed, and focusing on my piece.
And so you go out there, so nerves when you walk out on that stage are not an issue?
Sometimes they are, but usually they're not a big issue. It's just adrenaline more than nerves.
And that can be a good thing, right, if you focus it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, this Saint-Saëns is a favorite of yours, isn't it?
Yes.
Concerto. And what makes it such a favorite?
I love the character. And it's so flamboyant. And especially the third movement, the first time I heard it, I completely fell in love with it. And then later when I was picking what piece I was going to learn next, I didn't directly relate it to the first movement. And then I was listening to the whole concerto and the third movement came on and I go, oh, this is it. I have to play this.
Well, fortunately, you're going to play it for us right now. And anything before you get started, anything particular in it that appeals to you that we should be listening for?
My favorite part is towards the end. And the funny thing is, I'm not even playing at first. It's an orchestra tutti.
Which we'll hear as the piano.
Yes, as the piano. It's in the orchestra, it's a brass chorale. And the brass are just blaring this wonderful melody. It's my favorite spot. And then I get to come in playing a high note on the E string, which I enjoy the E string a lot, and playing all those high notes. So it's just everything I love.
All right. Well, then let's hear it. This will be the third movement of the Violin Concerto number 3 by Saint-Saëns.
Thank you.
And I have to say that, true to what you have said, Bethany, when the brass chorale part came, big smile on our violinist's face, just waiting for her entrance. Sure sign of a master of the art. And in that, you hear the Saint-Saëns of the Organ Symphony and the Saint-Saëns of the Carnival of the Animals. He was a very diverse composer, wasn't he?
Yes.
We're about 5 minutes away from our musical quiz question today. Between now and then, we'll have more from Final Forte finalist Bethany Moss, and her pianist is Vincent Fu. And we have actually a French half hour that we're going to round out now with this famous piece from an opera by Jules Massenet. And in this piece, there's no less than a conversion from a kind of a dissolute life to a more pious life in the works, isn't there? It's really quite a load for the instrumentalist. It was written actually originally with a prominent violin solo, right? This piece by Massenet.
Yes.
The Meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And is this also one of your favorites?
Yes. I actually haven't worked on it much, so it was very exciting to work on it again. it's simple and beautiful. And it's so easy to add in the emotion that should be there since it is from an opera.
Well, here it is, the Meditation from Thais.
Thank you.
Meditation from Thais by Massenet. And now back to my guest today, Bethany Moss, who's here with her pianist, Vincent Fu. And Bethany was one of the four finalists in the final forte competition performed recently with the Madison Symphony. And the next thing you have on hand here, Bethany, is usually played as just violin only. Is that the way you're going to do it today?
Yes.
And these are the famous, I suppose for a long time, neglected partitas by Bach. They were considered to be sort of exercises until violinists started picking them up relatively late in the game, at least so I remember. What do you like about these partitas?
I'll be playing from the E major partita, which is one of my personal favorites as a whole partita. It was actually the first one I learned, so it's kind of special for me in that way as well.
And are these partitas sort of technical exercises in the sense that they're different kind of things you have to do as a violinist in each of the movements and each of the suites, or is there not that kind of pattern to them?
I don't think they're as patterned as some etudes would be where you're only working on one bowing for this etude and that's the only thing there is. They have more variation, but they certainly can be technical exercises and they aren't exactly easy.
I would think not. And so we're going to actually hear a total of three movements from one of these partitas, and we'll start with this is partita number three.
Yes.
In E, as you mentioned, and we'll start at the beginning with the preludio. Thank you. That's one of those pieces that you have to let it breathe at the end, don't you?
Yes.
Let that last note just float in the air. The prelude from the Bach Partita number 3. Now, the partita, like a lot of the suites that Bach wrote, has dance movements in it. And so what can you tell us about this third movement you're going to play, the gavotte?
The gavotte is a dance movement. It is usually in cut time, and the dance starts with an upbeat in the middle of the measure, which is a little odd. The en rondo part of the name, gavotte en rondo, means that the first section, A, comes back throughout the piece. So you'll hear A, and then it repeats, and then a variation of A, and then A again, and then you'll get to B, and it'll go back to A, and then to C, and back to A, and finally to D, and then you'll finish with the A section again.
Does that make it harder or easier to remember?
At first, it can be a little confusing. I think lettering it helps, just even in your head. Okay, I finished the B section, now I'll play A, and then the C section.
Okay, here it is, the gavotte en rondo. Another one of those very famous little pieces of music. Bach spun out so many of those, didn't he?
Yes.
And now back with Bethany Moss and pianist Vincent Fu. We're going to bring Vincent back into the mix here in a couple of minutes. But first we have the sixth movement. Is that that's the last movement, right?
Of yes.
The partita, ending on a lively note with a gigue, or as we would call it, a jig.
Yes.
A lively dance, often associated with a single dancer. I think, yeah. So what about this giga?
This movement, I mentioned before that the E major partita was the first one I learned, and I actually started at the back of the partita. So this movement was the first movement of Bach I ever learned. So that's, I think for me, that's a milestone.
I would think so. Well, here it is. Quintessential Bach, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like anyone else's work. Well, you have quite a different thing lined up for us for the finale here of this hour of the midday. And it actually, it sounds to me like it'd be pretty difficult. This is a composer known for, I think, film music as well as classical music, one of those who has, you know, foot in each world. And it's a composer, well, who was one of the major ones of the 20th century, Miklós Rózsa. Now, how did you discover his work?
I'm a senior, and I was going through college auditions, and one of the colleges I was looking at required a modern piece, and I knew I wanted to do something unaccompanied, just for solo violin. So when we were researching, we found this, and I decided to learn this, and I'm very glad I did. It's really fun.
It's really fun. Okay. And does anything in particular that makes this fun? I mean, it's vivace, so we know that's going to bring in some speed.
Yeah, I haven't done a lot of modern music, so it's completely different than, well, obviously, all the classical music. So it was good to learn something different and just to experience it.
To kind of stretch your musical language.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Is that unusual, do you think, to have a full-length sonata by a 20th century composer that's just for solo violin?
I don't think it's so unusual.
Really?
They may not be as well played or as well known, but...
Vincent, sitting over there at the piano, were you ever thinking, now, I could use a little piano right here, you know, a little something extra?
Not at all. I really enjoy solo instrumental music, especially, you know, a musician as fine as Bethany, you know, can really make that instrument, you know, bring out all of the special things that are inherent to the instrument.
As an accompanist, though, is it a particular challenge for you just to sort of be in sync with that performer so that, I mean, you can't just count strict time to stay together because you have to have some, you know, there's rubato and all of this.
Correct. I mean, when you first start out doing that, yes, it can be a challenge, but, you know, if this is what you do and if this is what you love to do, then just like any other, you know, activity, discipline that, you know, other people engage in, it's, you know, it becomes easier and easier.
How about harder and harder, though, Bethany, in terms of your next musical challenge? What will that be? Other than getting into college, of course.
As next performances?
Yeah, well, what's that next piece to which you aspire that's now just beyond your grasp?
I think technique still. There's still so much more I know I can do with my bow hand in particular.
Is there a piece in particular, though, that you're thinking, I would like to tackle this one next? How does that work?
I'll be working on the Bach Chaconne next from the D minor sonata, and I'm very excited. I think that's another milestone. There's a lot of milestones.
A lot of milestones just in Bach.
Yeah, it's a monumental piece, and I'm so excited to start working on that.
That's another famous piece, but it's pretty hefty, too.
Mm-hmm.
Quite the workout. Have you ever thought of playing, for example, Sagan, the Ravel, which starts with all violin until the orchestra comes in finally, something like that?
Not now, but... I don't really know what I'll be doing next. Still thinking.
But you're pretty soon. You're going to be playing with the Milwaukee Symphony?
Yes. Next Wednesday, I'll be playing with the Milwaukee Symphony in their Stars of Tomorrow concert.
Are you going to be playing the Saint-Saëns?
I will.
Again. And you look forward to that brass choir.
Yes.
Is your sort of your cue to come in. And as far as these college applications, now you're homeschooled now.
Right? I am.
And so these college applications are, what do you have, top choices?
I've already decided.
Oh, you have?
It's all done, yes.
And have they? Has the college?
Yes. It all has to be done by May 1st, so.
Oh, so soon. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's true, because you're actually going to be going to college in the fall, this
yes.
fall. And where is that going to be?
I'll be going to the Robert McDuffie Center for Strings at
down
Mercer
in Georgia.
University. Yes.
Sure. You know, where he also teaches the business
mm-hmm.
of music.
Yes,
he's actually probably a leader in that.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about the program.
And so have you worked with Robert McDuffie before?
No, but I had a chance to meet him when I auditioned, and he seemed like a wonderful person
to
work with.
Yes, he's very low-key and charming. He's played mm-hmm. here a couple of times.
Yeah.
So you'll, I think, enjoy that experience. I'd like to thank you, Bethany Moss, for coming in and playing for us. It's been spectacular, been a real treat.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
Hope to hear you again, and thanks, Vincent, for coming in, as you do occasionally. Always good to hear you, too. And best of luck with future endeavors.
Thank you.